grain of rice, a grain of rice is going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on, Mayo, you've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Okay, folks, how you all doing? Hope you're good. Hope you enjoyed the really fine weather. Now it's getting a bit murky and a bit colder. The lockdown might be a bit easier patrol, but I suppose we all loved the bit of good weather. This morning, we're thrilled to be to make history on the Irish Examiner hurling show by having a footballer on the show. But since we had a jockey in Davy Russell who won a couple of Grand Nationals, we're not shy and we're not sorry about having the great Owen the Bomber Liston, 7-time All-Ireland winner, with us this morning. Bomber, how's it going?
Couldn't be better, Anthony, under the circumstances. No, everything is good, really. You know, we'd love to have more matches now at this time of the year and to be involved a bit more in it, but sure, we just got to get on with it. And, you know, the last few months, 3 days, I didn't find too long. There's a nice old walk around where I live, and only for that, we'd have gone mad, I'd say.
Are you in the town there, Bomber, really?
I'm just out the Phoenix Road. You know the Oyster Tavern, not too far from the Oyster.
I do that with my time in Kilmiley. After coming out of matches in Stacks Park, I think we ventured to the Oyster once or twice. All right, before heading up north. Well, sure, that's beautiful there out around Phoenix, like.
Lovely part of the world, yeah.
Lovely part of the world, is right. And come here. No golf?
No golf, unfortunately. Next Monday, can't bursting for it. I must have about 60 golf balls lost out my back garden, and it's only a small back garden. But any time they go under the bushes, I can't get them back out. So I got a refill anyway there 2 days ago again, so I have another 40 ready to lose.
You're obviously a member in Tralee, yeah?
I'd be a member in Tralee and Ballybunion, yeah.
I was going to tell you, you're still a member in Ballybunion, yeah. Obviously.
Yeah, my father bought life membership for me in 1971 for £300, and it was the best investment ever anyway, I tell you. We've got great fun out of it. And the membership here is very reasonable as well in Tralee, and fantastic course. They're just improving it the whole time. Love it out there. It is therapy even just walking around, playing bad golf even.
Three of the best courses in Ireland, the two in Ballybunion and Tralee. I have to say, I've had the privilege of hacking my way around them, and unreal, like, you know. So are you on the timesheet for Monday?
Yeah, I'm down there with Ogie and Mike Kane and myself, so we're looking forward to it. We're all bursting for it, I tell you.
Ogie in lockdown, how did it suit him?
Well, he's done a pile of gardening anyway, he tells us. I can't wait to go up and see it, you know.
No, Ken Guinness, like?
No, he's very disciplined that way, you know. But bursting for the golf now as well, you know.
Yeah. Well, the last time, I suppose, we had a bit of a good social crack together, we were in a place called Jesolo de Zislo, is it? Just off of Venice there in Italy, courtesy of Sean Keehan Travel. There was a lot of good golf played, but there was a lot of good crack as well.
Mighty, mighty trip, yeah. God, I remember going down, is it the gondolas? Going down with Christy Heffernan as my partner, I tell you. There was no romance anyway in that trip.
I tell you, I went on a few of them. You were probably on a few of them as well. Sure, they went on for maybe 20 years nearly, but Christy was my roommate, like. I tell you, I'd rather go down a gondola than share a room with him ever again in my life. Jesus Christ, I tell you, if any man could snore for Ireland, and he'd be around the same size as yourself, if not bigger, like height-wise, and I used to bait him with books. I think I threw a full shower bag with shaving cream and aftershave and everything at him one night in the bed. I was that demented and had to be up for golf in about 2 hours, and we're only in bed about 2 hours. To some crack. Yeah. I remember you giving us the piano man on top of a table, all right, one night in an open-air bar, and we were sitting kind of outside
And I remember the Saw Doctors got a blast as well, I think.
The Saw Doctors, the N17 got a blast. But, I remember the crowd were, you know, the way they're very civilized over there, and they were all licking their ice cream, walking down along after having their meal and that. And there was these 13 or 14 Irish fellas, Bernard Flynn and Stephen O'Brien and Joe Dooley and Christy and Dignan and Steve. It was a who's who. There was us giving it holly out on the kind of the balcony of the bar, and we nearly had an audience for a finish outside.
It was all operatic stuff anyway, I'd say, was
it? It was operatic, all right, yeah. Geez, Bob, where to begin? I know you're probably under a bit of demand for this start of stuff because, look, we've no live games and we're all trying to talk to the great characters of the games, and I suppose we've been blessed the last few weeks, and we're thrilled to have you as well, you know, and we're great. As I said, Dr. Conway, the gas one with Davy Russell, you know, who a jockey's life, like, and yeah, our lives, so much similarities in the discipline required for a lot of the year. But
someone was saying recently to me, it's the only sport with two ambulances following the players around. You know, the jockeys, you know, it is such a dangerous sport, really, you know, compared to the handy stuff we had.
You had yourself and Sean Doherty had two John's ambulances, fellas, behind you. But it was amazing, like, that they get no, do you know what I mean? They get no real break at all, like, to put on a few pounds, or at least we used to be able to kind of winter well, weren't we?
Jeez, we were very lucky in our time, like, once the All-Ireland was over, say the third week in September, I'd only be going around Patrick's Day. You know, the following Patrick's Day, you'll be trying to get back into shape just to avoid a bit of pain. You might go to start the march just to get a step ahead of the others. But, like, we had 5-6 months off, which was brilliant. Do you know? I'd put on about 2-2.5 stone during that. And Mick would have great fun knocking it off me then, sure. Sure, it was great. But, like, in fairness, the effort that the players are putting in now is fantastic.
Yeah, it's different times. And then, I remember asking Lochnane one time, I was coming near the end, and I just said to him, like, Jer, would you mind if I took January? Do you know? Now, we wouldn't have had that time because obviously in the old Munster Hurling Championship, you could be playing a quarterfinal on the, you know, the 25th or 6th of May that time, and you could be out in your arse, do you know? So you didn't really, yeah. I mean, I suppose you were nearly guaranteed to be me. The Cork match was your starting off point, really, usually, wasn't it?
It was a huge match for us because it was knockout, do you know? And if you lost that one, your whole year was gone. Yeah. And there was more pressure on that match than any of the matches. You know, the fear of just being having no matches for the rest of the year, the All Ireland gone, the trips at the end of the after the All Ireland, they'd all be gone, like, if you lost to Cork. So they were huge matches.
I know. And you just on that, stick with that one for a sec, like you were all over the world really, like, weren't you?
We were very lucky. I think Mikko knew he had to come up with a different trick to motivate us every year, like, you know. And, Jesus, there was nothing better than the carrot of a trip abroad. Like, and, you know, it was America, it was San Francisco, it was Hawaii, it was Australia. You know, I think it was Bali we were supposed to be going to if we won the 5 in a row. But the lads said it was Ballybun and we ended up in anyway instead of Bali. Yeah.
Did they not even give you a consolation trip to the Canaries? Because you were fed up with the Canaries at that stage.
We had gone away. That wouldn't have done us at all that time, you know.
Different gravy, like.
Different gravy.
Spill answered that to me one time, you know. I was asking him, we had a few jars, I suppose, after a Sunday game. And I said, like, how did you, we wouldn't have been as long-lived as ye. And we, of course, we didn't win anything like what ye won. But we'd have been on the road together, the bones of us, from about 93-4 to 2001-2, you know, the boys got to the final again in 2002. Now I was just gone.
Long innings.
Yeah, it was, and great times for us now because we weren't used to it. But, like, I was saying to Spillane, how did he keep you going? And he said, like, he'd dangle Australia, you know, he'd dangle Hawaii, like, and like, I suppose maybe was it just slightly different times?
Yeah, I'd say Anthony does well. Like, no one gets fed up of winning, and. Yeah. I think once you're there with a group, you know, the camaraderie, the fun, the enjoyment you get of being with your teammates, that all plays a huge part in it as well. And we got to know each other very well through the trips. And then, sure, you were enjoying the dressing room, you were enjoying the training, the after training, the crack, you know, the circus that goes with it. You were able to enjoy all that. So, you know, there was no one opting out. And you were just, the bond between the players was getting stronger and stronger every year, you know.
And so, Woody, I know he was a tough taskmaster and he wasn't the man for drinking pints himself, like, but would he let you off the leash kind of?
Ah, he would.
Day of a Munster final now, would he say, I'll see you Thursday? Or...
He didn't have to say it. He knew that was going to be happening, you know. But, like, that was the great thing about him. Like, he knew the time that we needed to have our crack and our fun. And he knew then when it was serious stuff. And his greatest quality was that time, like, he was like a horse trainer, like the type of training that I'd need, like a Clydesdale, I'd say, versus what your power and Ogie'd need is totally different. And he knew that. And sure, he just slogged myself, Tim Kennelly, Paddy Shea, Shawnee Welsh, all the fatties he used to call us. Like, we got killed, like, but sure, the lads were only coming in to do the hair for us, you know, doing a few laps to keep the pace up. And they were kicking around while we'd be doing all the hard slog. But that was his greatest thing as a trainer. I think from a fitness point of view, he knew where every fella should be finishing in every sprint or in every 440. You know, he knew where you should be finishing. And if you were back a few yards, it was extra stuff for you. And the totals, it was individual training nearly he had for the fellas that time, which was unique, like, you know.
And was there fellas that used to be allowed finish behind you, Bob?
The goalies.
Classic. I used to say the goalies and Liam Dyle.
Once I stayed ahead of the goalies, I was happy out, you know.
And would Charlie not be good to train, no?
Charlie and Paddy Mahoney that time, I could take them. I could scalp them any day.
Coming up to Hill in Cheltenham, you'd pass them out.
Like a Damon Coughlin, look over at them, you know.
And the boys said, come on, Bob. At your power finished about 2 or 3 minutes earlier, like.
After lapping us.
Yeah, I remember one night, like, this young lad came on, David Ford, scored a great goal to beat Tipperary in 97. Sorry, Larry's a tip man now, Bob, so we throw in one of these every week, like, you know. But, like, 40, like, how he wasn't running cross-country for Ireland just bait me, like, you know. Yeah. But, like, yeah, your man would say 35 laps, Mike Mack. Look, Anna let Mike Mack do his whipping for him, you know. And, like, we take off on these yokes anyway, like, and maybe on about lap 7, like, and 40 go past you for the first time, like. And I used to say, like, there'd be a few of us cozying up together. Keep this going now for a while, lads. You can kick on around 15 or 16, like, you know, and whoever, but just keep together, 7 or 8 of us, cute boys, of course. And 40 whizzing past us, like. And I said, 40, you're only a bollocks. And he was half in awe, me kind of, because he was only a young lad coming in. And, of course, it'd probably be me, Dial, Toohey, McMahon, all these guys. And like, he used to stop and nearly stay. I know, we're only Blagarden, David. Go on away. Geez, I tell you, when he came on in the All-Ireland final in 97 and he was whizzing everywhere, I remember just taking a moment in time after he getting a brilliant pint. He kind of brought him on corner forward and brought him out the field, and Tip didn't follow him. And sure, he did rack, like. And I remember taking a second and said, Jesus, all them times you lapped me, I'm glad of them now, like. You know, horses for courses, I suppose.
Horses for courses, exactly.
And, Bob, can I take you to the finish of your time? And I won't even go with 93, like, because our boys were in 92, so they obviously had to send back for you, like.
Yeah.
When Mikko went, like, did you go, sort of?
Yeah, I wanted to go at that time. That was 1990. And was it all until I think Mickey Ned took over anyway, and I had been to Australia in 1990 with the Irish team, and I said that's a lovely finish now. We can hang up the boots and wanted it. And but Mickey Ned was, after taking over Kerry at the time, wanted me to stay on. And I just told him, look, Mick, there comes a time, I know it's the right time now to leave it there. You know, I was inside and truly married, and kids. But he convinced me to stay on that year, you know, and I stayed on then in 90. I left in 91 and 2 then, and I came back for a blast in 93, and that was it then. The 6-inch nail went into the boots then.
And did you play on a bit for Bale?
I did. I played my last match at 40 in an Arkery Championship final. Midfield, came on at midfield, and the fellow I was marking got man of the match. And I said that is the most optimistic coach ever, and he put me on midfield at 40 and about 20 stone. But that was definitely the best.
Just to put it in context, like I know, like because we're literally we're Zoom calling each other or SoundClouding each other here from across the pond. Like we're very near each other. I'm down the tip of West Clare here, and I'm literally only 10 minutes from the ferry, and I'd be in Tarbert. Like the North Kerry Championship, just to put it in context for people, like is played like nearly every senior championship, county championship in the country, really, except the time of year, isn't it?
That's it, yeah. It was huge for us. Like, you know, our club had never won an Arkery Championship till Ogie, and we had a good team just kind of came along, and eventually Bernie Callaghan was training us, and he had experience of playing with Kerry, and we won it for the first time in 77. But it was huge. It was county championship stuff for us, like, because, you know, there was 11 or 12 clubs in North Kerry, and whichever one of those 12 clubs trained the hardest and put in the greatest effort usually won it, you know? Yeah. And we just wouldn't have had the belief, like we'd no tradition of winning North Kerry Championship, but eventually we got there, and we had good success there for a good few years, you know?
I'd say it was Party Central in Ballybunion after winning the North.
Sure, it was the best ever, like, you know.
It could be played, just to put it in context again, like, it could be played around Stephen's Day, like, the final, couldn't it?
Yeah, we played final Stephen's Day, like, you know, often it was in the muck and the gutter, more times it was in the frosty hard ground, but it was just great. And what made it so good was everyone in North Kerry knew what was happening that day. The most important thing in North Kerry that was happening that day was the championship. You would have a few thousand at it, like, you know, and everyone was doing the talking point. Whereas they played it 1 year during the summer. And sure, we won it and came through Ballybunion, all the tourists around, and sure, no crack, because everyone was too busy and it was lost in the atmosphere of the place. Whereas you win it around Christmas time or November, sure, you get 2 or 3 months crack out of it, like, and great fun. And I'm really happy that we experienced that with a lovely bunch of lads, friends that you grew up with, you know, fellas that, you know, it was a fantastic journey to be on, and fantastic memories to have.
Yeah, like, I remember meeting a buddy of mine there that, you know, a lot of the Kerry boys came across to work in Money Point, obviously, and he was a Tarbert man. I think Tarbert won it maybe 2-3 years ago, I'm not sure now. Be backed by Shane Enright anyway, but they kind of won it, and they hadn't won it in years. And it was the old Christmas racing festival was on, you know. And I happened to go into the old bookies in Kilrush to do an old bet anyway. And I met Macho anyway inside. Jesus, Macho, I said, gee, we out or what, like, you know. I think it was around the 28th or 9th of December. He says, Jesus, no, the boys won the North Kerry, sure. He says, yesterday, he says, I might have to come back in the boat. Like, I was just saying, like, if you told fellas in Clarecastle, like, that they were after winning a county final or divisional final even on the 27th or 8th, they'd say, what are you doing with a hurley in your hand this time of the year? But sure, that's the brilliance of it. Like, going back to Ballybunion, Bob, like, would there have been a big tradition there or not? Like, what would you be like? I can only compare it maybe to Kilkee here, who sometimes have a brilliant team, but unfortunately for them now are back junior A, you know. Kilkee would have contested a Munster Club final against the Gaeltacht in around 2002 or 3, you know. But sometimes then their numbers would dwindle. Would, in Ballybunion, like, in terms of numbers and that, would you have had plenty numbers?
You'd have had, like, but there was no tradition there of no strong tradition of, say, North Kerry Championship football. Like, you know, you'd have had teams. I remember when we were very young, you'd have parish leagues. You'd have four teams of 15, like, you know. Now, fellas, they'd be ranging in age from 45 down to about 15, like, you know. Yeah. But they were just like faction fights that time, and they split the club. The club had to be brought back together again. But there was passion there, and there was pride, and, you know, but you just hadn't the tradition of winning or being competitive even in North Kerry Championships. And it was just it all changed that we came with a good underage team, and Niall Horgan, who was our local teacher there, he'd have put in massive effort, and you had John Francis Ahern, and you had Liam Lynch. There was a lot of Jimmy Buckley fellas that were there that just gave their whole life to the thing, like, you know. And eventually a good underage team came, and they were kept together, and they moved up along. And Ogie was there, and he was a college star then, like, you know. We'd seen him playing at television and were in awe of him, and God, he was just an awesome player, like, you know. Anytime we had him, we'd win by three or four goals, like, you know, if not five. And if we were missing him, we'd lose by three or four. You know, he was just exceptional player. And, you know, eventually they kept that team together, and we won a novice and a junior and intermediate, and then we were in our Kerry Championship. We eventually went senior, and we won. We got to two county championship semi-finals for Bale on our own. The only regret I have in football is I do think if we really believed that we could have won a championship in 89, the year Long Rangers won it. I just feel we were caught a bit by John Mitchell's in the semi-final, and just we had a team that had where we were strong, they were weak, and where they were strong, we had fellas to mark them, you know. So Butcher, that's the only regret anyway, that if we really believed we could have won a championship with Bale, like, which would have been fantastic, you know.
But could nearly have equaled, like, Clare hurlers winning an All-Ireland for Bale to win a county on your own, like, Bam.
Oh, it would, absolutely, like, it would have been huge, like, you know. But, you know, we had the journey, we had the crack, the fun, the memories, you know. Give it to us any day. It's only a small regret, really. But we got plenty of success out of it and enjoyed it a bit.
And got the senior medal with what you'd consider now, I suppose, not to be the strongest division, with Shannon Rangers in 77.
That's right. Shannon Rangers had a good tradition. Like, you know, you had Tarbert, Ballydunhoo, Ballyduff, Ballybunion, and Ballylongford, like, all together. And then they was followed fairly regularly, but they won in 72. Ogie was on that team in 72 as a 16-year-old. Would have marked Brendan Lynch, a county senior, kept him to a point in a county final. And, you know, they won that in 72. I was about 15 at the time. But then in 77, Jackie Welsh, there was a row again, Tarbert, and it was just Bale and Ballylongford on their own. And Jackie Welsh and Ogie were training, and we used to go over to Clare, play Kilrush regularly there. The Harty brothers, do you remember there was four of them?
They won five in a row in Clare, like.
That's right, yeah. We had some great battles. We'd go across there on the ferry, play the match and get back.
On the last ferry,
yeah. So that was in 77, and we won 77. We were beaten in the final in 78. But it was always nice to have a county championship medal anyway. Yeah, and really delighted to have that.
Yeah, it was incredible. There's no doubt about it. And, like, you, when did you move into Tralee then, Bam? I know, and I want to ask you about this. Like, yeah. You were a Moontour scullion down in Waterville for a while. Like, you find out things about fellas like you never knew before. Like.
Yeah, I moved down to Waterville in 78.
Why? Like?
Why? Because I had just qualified at that stage as a science teacher 'Tis like in a different world. But 1978, that was where I got the job. It wasn't because, I should say, Mikko got the job for me. I don't know whether he had a part in it or not, yeah. But I ended up down there anyway.
It sounds like too much of a coincidence, like.
No, it was lucky for me anyway, I'll tell you, because I had my own personal trainer Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. No one had personal trainers that time, like, you know. So, but it was the real school of hard knocks anyway down there, and learned the pile and have great memories. I was there from 78 to 86.
You spent as long there now. But, like, it must have been fair torture, too, to have him around the corner from you, like.
It was, but I did a deal with him, like, because I set up this Keep Fit down there. You'd say,
What?
Funds were very low, and I had this idea that, do you know what, we could get a crowd in here to do Keep Fit. 10 bob, anyway, it was at the time. And so, Jesus, there was nothing else to do in Waterville those nights in the middle of the winter. So, Jesus, we'd have 60, 70 down there. Now, Mikko was providing the hall, the electricity, the water, everything. But I was getting half the for it being my idea. So I did a deal with him that, look, Mikko, I can't keep training like that. If you take it easy on me when we go up to Killarney, I'll train here as well. But, Jesus, I have to be fair now as well. So we did a deal, anyway, and most of the time he took it a bit easier on me, and that's why the lads reckoned I was his pet then, you know.
Well, I tell you, it's no wonder you give up the science teaching and are a financial advisor now. Well,
that was the first business I was in, yeah. Cash business.
Every housewife in Waterville out jogging and over and back.
I tell you. To see him all doing the press-ups and all the different exercises that we were doing inside in Kerry, it's unknown what damage was done there, right? How Mikko Dwyer wasn't sued by all those housewives, I don't know, you know.
Most of them have physiotherapy bills now. There's no merit.
Unbelievable. Me driving them.
Oh, on
50 press-ups, 50 sit-ups. You can imagine it.
Oh, Jesus, I can only imagine. You had the wife arriving home, like, and you're watching the television and say, what are you doing now? First tough night tonight. Like, who was doing that? Mikko and Bomber. Was Mikko calling the shots or Bomber calling the shots?
I just weighed them in. And the secret was, I'd had a few pounds at the start of this in January. And then in March, we'd have the re-weigh, and I'd be subtracting 3 or 4. I was in charge, and I could set the weighing scale, sure. Just weigh what your Waterville style, like, you know?
I swear, I mentioned him earlier, Liam Dial, my opposite wing back. We were great old friends, and we were all as unfit coming back training, you know? But we'd start off with the bleep test, you know. And obviously you're familiar with the bleep test now from being involved in Aries and all that. But like, Dialer say, I'm going to set a record new low score for the bleep test tonight, like, you know. And I'd say, why, for fuck's sake? And he'd say, because when we do it again in the middle of March, it'll be, Jesus, Liam Dial, you're after coming up 75%. And then it'll be, you have reached the start of level 7. And the next thing, Dial will be out. Ah, Jesus, have you any shame at all? Like, level 10 anyway, like.
I'd say I'd have got on well with him.
He was gas, and he'd no more. He used to let on, he had asthma, right? And he'd have an old inhaler. he'd produce this inhaler. I said, well, you go away with that fucking thing, stick it up in your arse. You're no more using that, Chuck. It wouldn't have been refilled, like, in about 2 years. stop, sure, the crack. It's all about the crack, wasn't it? Story, great. Like, you can look back on and stuff you got away with there. Like, you used to travel yourself and Ogie. Obviously, like, he'd have been a little bit older than your bomb, and you'd probably have looked up to him, in, as you said, like, he was on that 72 team, like,
yeah,
in a county, like, but you became unreal friends, like, for life, really. Like, anytime I'd meet one, he'd nearly meet the two, he'd tell you the truth.
We're sticky, all right. Yeah, but like, you know, we're from the same town. You know, grew up, we played soccer on the beach together when the tide was out. But, you know, then we played under 14 football, under 16, under 18, played with Shannon Rangers, played Kerry under 21, played Kerry senior. You know, it was just, it's great, great if that didn't bring fellas together, like, and we just got on really well, and we're still great friends, and then our kids grew up together and played with the same club, and we had all that fun as well, like, you know, so just great times, great friends, thank God.
And come here, when you gave up the science teaching, Bob, you went straight into the building society, did you?
No, I gave the Munster Council. I was anxious to get a school up in North Kerry. You know, I was traveling up and down for matches and to get somewhere in North Kerry. And while I was waiting, I was asked to know, would I work for the Munster Council as a coach, going around to the schools and to the so-called weaker counties that time, Clare, Tipperary, Waterford and Limerick. So I was a coach. I was the first paid coach, I'd say, by the GAA that time.
You were the first fella to have a sponsored car.
Oh, I tell you why. I started it all. But
we're often grateful to you.
but great memories, you know, going around, you know, Waterford, Tip, Limerick, Clare. You go into some of the clubs that time, Jesus, like if it was a hurling club, they'd knife the ball, the big ball, like, you know. But
you'd nearly get away with it, though.
You know, it wasn't too bad. There wasn't any ball knifed anyway, but the threat was there. But I know, great memories. Met some fabulous people, and you know, it really showed you what the GA is about. Like, you know, gorgeous people that just give their lives. Everything is for the GA and for the community. And you know, you go into schools and to see the work that was being done there, and you know, the passion for the game. You know, it was lovely to witness. So it was during my second year that this other opportunity came up, and I said I'd have a go at it anyway before I go back teaching. And that was with the Building Society in Tralee. And so I gave 22 or 3 years at that. And I'm a financial advisor anyway since.
Yeah. When did you go out on your own then, Mom?
I went out on my own last October, 12 months in Tralee here. Really enjoying it. My own office now in Tralee, and love what I'm at, and so far so good.
Good man. And come here, just while we're on that, I suppose the 08-09 crash, I would have hit me personally in that, in business and that, but like, what do you think, like, just putting on the financial hat, are we in better shape to cope with the crack now? Like, obviously it is a fucking complete drain on the country, and you know,
it is a worry for people, like, definitely. But there's an awful lot of differences this time to the 08. Like, the central banks have loaded in money in time this time, and you have the fiscal stimulus there from the Fed and from Germany. And you know, once they get the, with so much money gone into the economies all around the world, once they get a vaccine, or once there's even treatment, and once they get a hold of it, you know, I don't believe it's going to be as bad as was there in 08. And there's a lot of reasons, and a lot of commentators and economists are saying that the recovery could be very quick, but it is dependent an awful lot on this virus, if they get a hold of it. Like, you know, and the quicker they get it under control, the economies, the global economy will be back, because China, any places that they're opening up at the moment, you know, the economies are coming back fairly quick on, and that's given a hope to a lot of people. And that's why the markets have bounced back from, say, the market's gone down 33%, and 25% of that has come back. So there's hope, and, you know, please God, everything will be fine, you know.
Yeah, for Marty Brown's bar beside me here at home, to reopen, we'll have to go from 2 meters to 1 meter in Obama. You'd be heard all right in a sing song at the 2 meter at the 2 meter distance. But some people would struggle.
It'd be very hard to do low singing, though.
It'd be very hard to tell a fella an old yarn that you didn't want everyone else in the pub to hear, would you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And Bob, like, in later years, you lost 3 of your greatest soldiers, like, you know, I mean, I wouldn't have known Tim. I'd actually know Tig. I wouldn't have known John. Obviously, everyone knows John Jr. I don't know him as a person, but I'd know the O'Shea as well, as you can probably imagine, having first met Dara through Billy Morgan and the great Peter Garvey and the Sunny Bank, the Arthur Mercer in Dublin, and myself and Mark, and obviously Tomás then would be known to take videos of me eating pizza on the Sunday game and stuff and put them viral all over. Like, they're desperate rogues. Like, and but like, it was an awful, I mean, we were supposed to be the 25-year team this year with the Dubs, the Dublin team that finally won Keith Barney's likes. I said, Jesus, it was nice to see two of the weaker counties, I said, team making a breakthrough again, you know, like, you know, and you can imagine Bear now and a few of them. But like, what the beauty of it, like, I'd be saying is, and I know we have another one to look forward to, with the help of God, but you know, it's just fantastic to have everyone together. Still, like, and we had great plans. We were going to all sorts of exotic places, playing golf and, you know yourself, like, but they all went out the window. But, I mean, the losses of the byes to E as a group would have been huge, like.
Absolutely, like, you know, they're way too young to go, like, you know, and tis the families you would have to be more sorry for, like, to miss out, and what they have missed out, we've seen their families grown up and seen the success they've, the families have had, and but you know what, we have just good memories. Anytime you close your eyes, you can go back in there and you can have massive crack inside in your head, thinking of the different nights you were with John and Timmy and Paddy, and the crack and the fun they brought to us, and it is great to have those memories anyway, and we'll always have those, you know.
Yourself and Ogie used to usually travel with the horse and Jimmy Dina and to Killarney together, you see?
That's right, yeah. In a Ford Fiesta. Yeah, great crack, great fun, great stories. We'd be pulling Timmy from the silage. You know, he'd come in and stink the car up with silage, go over after a hard day's work. And what a man to train, like, you know, that's how he got the horse. Like, he was that tough. And you know, great fun and great crack. And then we'd have competed against them, you know, Nark with Bale against Listowel. You know, we had huge clashes there, like, you know.
The Townies.
And, the Townies, exactly, against us. And we really, really great fun there. And John Egan, like, he was so quiet. And, like, I'm privileged to have had the best seat in the house during his career anyway. Like, you know, watching him play there, you know, off my left shoulder, I'm seeing all the things that he could do, like, you know, that a lot of it even going unnoticed, and so quiet, and no matter how many fellas were baiting the head off him, like, you know, he always said, Palmer, he says, the only way to get it back is on the scoreboard. And, you know, that's just, he was so understated and quiet and just lovely way about him, and just loved meeting his Sneem colleagues after for a pint, and that was their fun. And but great. And sure, Paddy, oh my God, like Paddy that time, I was brought up in a bar and he was had the bar, and like we had our own group with Timmy, and mainly you would have had Ogie, Shawnee Welsh, Paddy Lynch, myself and Paddy, and we'd be going back there at the Munster finals. After the Munster final, you go back and Paddy had a caravan, and we'd stay inside in the caravan, the five of us, and we'd be just planning and going back for a day, and Jesus, it was nearly a week by the time we got home, and the fun and the crack, and he was our kind of Taoiseach, kind of our group, you know, yeah. And we had great fun, great memories.
Yeah, did that fiesta ever take a wrong turn on the way back from Killarney?
Not too often, no. In fairness, Jimmy was a PE teacher and very disciplined, and he kept us under control. But there'd be nights, all right, that we'd be late leaving Killarney, and then you'd get back all right there.
Fairness. And come here, like, look, some career, and most people know a whole lot about the career, so I wanted to talk about, you know, other stuff, and so that'd be kind of the angle we'd normally come at this podcast from, like, but like some, Jesus, 78, like 3 goals and 2 pints, like, I mean, rider over stuff don't make it up, like, you were still another 21, like, you know,
that's right.
And you hardly played well at all in the first half. Mikey's goal, I suppose, is the standout memory, and your goal was hungry, the one you caught and laid off and got back, but to some start, like, in terms of All-Ireland final appearances, wasn't it?
I thought it was going to happen every year. they weren't long drawing up, but sure, it was the beauty of that first All-Ireland, just to win your first All-Ireland medal, like to win an All-Ireland medal was the goal. you know, if you had one of them, God, you felt you had achieved something, like, you know, and to win it and have your best friend as captain going up receiving the cup and bringing the cup back to Bale and to the parish. And we went out in the Ran that year and took the cup, Sam Maguire, into every house in the parish, you know, for the Bale club, fundraising for the Bale club. It was just unbelievable to see the reaction of the Sam Maguire coming into the houses up in the parish, the different farmhouses, and the drive the kids would make for the cup and putting it up over their heads, and just fantastic altogether, yeah.
Magic, yeah, Jesus. And like, as you said, like, to have the 3-2, and I was kind of forgetting about Ogie being captain, to be honest. Jesus, that's double down on it, really, didn't, like, you know. And obviously then you went on 79, relatively easy beat the Dubs. I suppose the Dubs were nearly kind of coming near the end of that great team, aren't they?
They were. And, like, that was their sixth final in a row. And they had been on the road a good bit. Their age, the average age, I'd say, was at least 4 or 5 years older than ours. And
Keaveney must have been about 50, like.
Well, you see, that my regret always, I modelled myself on him, and that's why I had this little barrel here instead of a six-pack.
We better sort the six-packs, Power.
but it was a great, great Dublin team, and it was great that we ended up as so friendly with each other and still are to this day. And, you know, it's great to have had that journey with them, where they won three of those All-Irelands and we had our winnings as well. And so great, great friendship. And Kevin Moran, you know, he was due to come back there 2 weeks ago to with his brothers there, with a thing organized with Ogie and myself there, a game of golf. But, you know, it is just, they come down still during the year, during the store races, and it is great always to meet up.
Oh, Jesus, Bob, I tell you, through the great Peter Garvey, as I mentioned, that Jimmy and Peter would have been best friends. Like, I was a victim of that trip to Listowel and Killarney races a few times there. After retiring as Clare manager, before I kind of took up the Dublin job, I about 3 years of it there. Jesus, I don't blame Paddy Cullen for coming out up for the match then. Well, there was some year I just wasn't going to come back. He said, I was coming back that shook every year. But Jesus, the crack, like, with them. There were celebs, like, around the town, like, weren't they?
Oh, they were, yeah. Just senior championship, like, as you'd say.
Your biggest rivals, but of course, that, like, that's... In one way, now we live in an era where they all know each other now as they're playing. They're friends nearly, because through college and everything very early in life, and of course Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and all that. Whereas we kind of grew up hating each other, and then go on, like, when Dublin won a Leinster title with me, the fella I marked probably the most for tip, Tommy Dunn, was my coach. Do you know, you become great friends with lads later in our time, I suppose.
But in our time, that time, the hate was there as well. The competitive animal that's in you. Like, we were mad jealous of that Dublin team with the success they were having. They had put us in our place there in 76 and 77. And, Jesus, have no doubt, like, that hate, and that you'd do anything to beat them, like, you know. And but... as you see, when you look back at it now, from my age, we're getting very sensible. Like, you know, sure, you nearly forget that there was ever any hate there. Like, you know,
Sure. Look, that is the way. And you kind of feel, I think, when you're kind of finished with it, you know, and you can watch it and enjoy it as a supporter and that kind of thing, that your kind of war is over nearly. But now it's peace times, and you're going to, you're going to holiday with them now, and instead of fighting them in the trenches or that kind of thing. But on to three in a row, and I watched it, and I didn't think it was your greatest performance. Obviously, they had beaten you in an under-21 final, Roscommon. Jesus, they were good on that day, weren't they?
I was sure I was missing that day. And
were you missing that day, Bomber? Jesus.
To the very boring old match, you see.
64 frees.
I had my appendix the Tuesday night before the All-Ireland, I got a pain, and went in, and I woke up the following day. I knew I was in trouble and got an injection in, and I was operated on. But in fairness, though, that match was so bad, I'd say, because the weather was terrible. fierce windy day, do you know? As bad a conditions as you can get now, because I remember a fella tried to fly me up to the match by air, and he says, after 20 minutes, we're not going to make it. Jeez, I was bracing myself for a crash landing, but he just turned back and we flew up by car, and do you know, it was just a horrible day for a match. And the game then, but it was close, I'd say. The Roscommon lads had a good cut at it, and you know, we're very close on the day. I think Paddy Shea made a fantastic save at one end, and Mikey's goal was the turning point, and Mikey's free taking and was very important the same day.
And then obviously,
actually we got man of the match. Tim had a serious match at centre back as well that same day, if memory serves me right.
Yeah. Jeez, he had a serious thump of a ball, hadn't he? I just watched a few of the older games when he put down the freeze to kick up. That time you had to.
Yeah.
He could kick it as far as a goalie, like. But like obviously then beat Offaly, but Offaly were coming following.
Yeah.
Then Din 82 bombing. It was only watching it again, you know, the way they're showing the matches, obviously.
Yeah.
So I was only watching it again, and I know it is a painful one, like, but how good a game of football it was.
Yeah, great game. We had three fabulous games with Offaly that time. A semi-final where we'd won, and then a final where we'd won, and then the five in the row, where they won. And you couldn't take it from them. Like, they had some fantastic footballers on that team. They didn't come from nowhere to beat us, like, you know. They had a track record. They had won Leinster. They'd lost Leinster and won it. They'd lost the semi-final and came back and won one. They'd lost the final and came back and won. 6 years. And with Eugene McGee in charge, brilliant coach, brilliant mind. I was privileged to have trained under him. Lord have mercy on him. Fantastic man. Fantastic human being. Kind of just, you knew well he'd get the max out of whatever he was given, like, you know. And fair play to them. They beat us fair and square, you know.
Well, you say fair and square, and that's the man you are, of course. But, like, watching it back, like, I'm not, like, the Derby one, I still wouldn't be overly, you know. It was definitely a nudge, like, whether it was a blatant. Like, I thought Tommy probably wasn't really in the right place at the right time. As Tommy was a brilliant wing-back, I suppose, but maybe as a complete, like, if it was a Deanahan type figure under that ball, he wouldn't have gone out first to it, like. But Jesus, there was two frees before it. I'm watching it back, in light of the way the game has been played, they were fairly soft, like.
But, like, you know, the underdogs would often get calls like that in matches. You know, you could go back to loads of matches where underdogs would get a few calls, you know. So, but look, take nothing away. Their whole half-back line went up and scored a point. They didn't sit back. They win for us. Matt Connor, super player. Johnny Mooney, Brendan Lowry, you know, Richie Connor, Sean Lowry. You go through them. Pat Fitzgerald, you know, series. Liam Connor, Tomás Connor, Padraig Dunn, you know, Conroy. Jesus, they had a serious team, and with a serious coach then. And they had suffered. And you know yourself, if a fella has suffered and eventually keeps coming back, eventually he breaks through that door, like, and they broke through, and fair play to him.
And fair play to you for just giving them all the credit. Was there any, do you ever feel like, again, talking to Spillane, I'd meet Spillane a bit in Dublin at the old RTE stuff, like, he kind of felt fellas started maybe doing stuff that he never associated them with them doing before, you know, retreating too deep and... Now, maybe you're after alluding there that the Offaly boys took the ball out of the field and came forward, but did the weight of history play any role in it? Like, we even saw last year that Dublin, probably the first day, were lucky. Do you know what?
Yeah, and it did. It did. The pressure came on. I have no doubt about it. You know, the last 10 minutes, we even after the goal, we still had a chance or two there, whether if we had more composure, you know, in hindsight. Do you know, but that's it. Like, pressure was bound to get to us. It is a fair white cauldron out there, and when you're going for something like that. And fair play to the Dubs this year, you know. They got out of jail the first day against Kerry, in fairness. But they showed how good they were the second day, and, you know, they were the better team.
And How good are your young lads coming, Bob?
They're very good. Really, really, really good. I'm very hopeful. Lovely lads. Been out with them a few times. Gorgeous young lads, you know, and have fierce passion for it. And are, no, it's couldn't be in a nicer position now over the next 5, 10 years. You know, hopefully we'll get many good days out in Croke Park again.
Yeah, and like, what if there's no championship? Do you think that would hurt this Kerry team? Obviously, it hurts every team. I thought, you know, but like, might it be a little bit of a help that the Dubs, you know, would be gone on a year without having played? I'm not trying to be. We all want a championship if we can have it safely, yeah, obviously. Yeah. But might it work out in Kerry's favour that little bit?
Do you know what it is? You could say like. It is, you couldn't really call who let's suit. You could argue from Kerry's point of view, they're a year older, a year more physically developed, which is absolutely good because they needed that. From Dublin's point of view, after the five in a row and the celebrations there, you know, if they were ever going to be cut, it would be then. They've had their celebrations now and eventually new coach, you know, he's going to try and prove everything that he can, that he's a good coach and he has all those players that they've had their fun and they're competitive animals, as you remember when you were in there. Like, you know, it's about winning at that level and they want to get back in there into that, across the white line again and perform for themselves, their families, their supporters, and they're going to be driven on as well. So I think it's 50-50 really, you know.
Yeah. It's hard to know. Yeah, it might be a break for Desi as well coming in. Like, can you're taking over from a five in a row manager? Jesus, do you know.
Yeah, but you have Galway and you've Donegal and, you know, Cork. There's other teams that are going to be coming into it as well. Like, you know, it didn't just Kerry and Dublin. Like, they're all waiting in the grass too, and they have been showing signs of improvement.
And obviously, Bob, you know, you cemented your absolute greatness. I mean, win four in a row anyway, you could nearly just say that was just greatness. So unparalleled at the time and that kind of thing. But like to come back and win the three in a row, that really like was incredible going, wasn't it? I mean, just to, even for Mikko, like to come back and really, a bit like Cody, like after missing out on the five in a row.
Yeah, it was, in fairness, like it was a heartbreak for Mikko losing that five in a row, no doubt about it. But I just actually saw the speech he gave inside in the dressing room to the Offaly lads after. And Jesus, he was really gracious. I must say, for a man that was absolutely gutted, it was just real class. But then we suffered it again against Cork the following year. The goal, Tyge Murphy's goal, the last minute, out again, beaten by a point. And then he regrouped and a bit of new blood came into the, you know, the Timmy Dowds, John Higgins, John Kennedy, Willie Maher, you know, Tom Spillane, John Lynch. They added a pile for that three in a row. You know, the few of our older lads had packed it in at that stage. There was a cohort of eight or nine of us there still, probably. And then you had the new blood coming in, and by God, they had a huge, the new energy, as you know, when you get a bit of new energy in like that, you know, it just started again and snowballed from there.
Yeah, incredible way to kind of cap it. I know Mikko stayed on his man, but Cork were coming, obviously, and then with the arrival of Tompkins and Fahey and these guys and the obviously great Nemo players that were there and all that, you know, they were coming with a team all right at that stage, but just wanted to ask you one thing about that three in a row team. Was Mick Galway the worst footballer to ever win an All-Ireland football medal?
Well, that goes without saying. Absolutely. he was so bad to turn that, you know, when he'd go out and by the time he'd come around and turn, they were saying that any small farmer worth his salt would make a fair living out of the amount of ground there that it'd take him to turn. So he was definitely the worst I've ever seen anyway. You can put that on the record.
Well, we have it on the record forevermore. And Galev, when you're out for your walk there in Kilkenny tonight, will you just listen to this? And I didn't tee it up at all, but I just couldn't picture you. I could picture you carrying the whole English pack over the line in Twickenham. All right. But winning an All-Ireland football medal, I couldn't picture. But I knew you did. And we had pictures to prove it from Mark O'Shea. But now we're after getting the real story for Bomber. So there we have it. There we have it, Golliv. Just wanted to get that one in there, Bomb. Just for him. But come here, Bomb. In Tralee then, like, I suppose the kids growing up and that, you got involved in Aries, the great Kearns O'Rahilly's.
That's right, yeah.
Like, would you have got involved with them? You obviously didn't play with them if you were playing with Bale up to 40.
No, I came to town. I bought a house in Tralee, and John Dowling, who had Captain Kerry in 55 and was a very good friend of mine, because when I was working in Tralee, he was coming into the office and we'd chat, and he was as passionate about football as me could have was. You know, he would, one of those fellas who would just talk football 24 hours a day. And do you know what I enjoyed? The thing, we became very good friends, and he got me to train Kearns O'Rahilly's, and he got my son involved with the club first, and then I was actually training John Mitchell's for a year then, and then I was asked would I train Kearns O'Rahilly's, and I had a lovely journey with them. Really went in there not knowing anything really about coaching, and just learned it as the years went by, learned it through making mistakes. And it was just lovely to win a championship with them.
Yeah, they hadn't won it in 40-something years, was it?
That's right, yeah. It was 47 years, I think, previously before they had won it. So you can imagine the celebrations and the crack and the fun and the journey. And it was just to witness that, you know, going a step closer. And eventually learning a bit more and seeing fellas and becoming competitive and getting to semi-finals and losing them, and you know, and eventually to get over the line. It was just fantastic, and to see what it meant to the club and the players and the community, and you know, it was just lovely.
And yeah, obviously had lived in the shadow of another big club down there that I have recently kind of fallen out with.
That's your own business.
No, absolutely, and of that we shall not. But I'll just say that when Kilmiley used to come into Tralee to play the county finals, and we wanted to warm up, we used to go to the Narries, and you always gave us the best of treatment there, I'll tell you. And just to thank them for that always, because it meant a bit to me, because it was somewhere nearby to get into. But I was always a bit of a Narries fan after that. Anyway, that's no reflection of the other huge club in the town. They have welcomed me to Connolly Park, is it?
Yeah, Connolly Park.
And I wouldn't mind, but when I trained Shannon Gales up here one year, we were beaten in the county semi-final because we live back west now, and it's all football back here. And Mikey kindly gave me a challenge match. And I remember the midfield that day for the Stacks was Donaghy and William Kirby. But we had a great day and a night in Hennessy's afterwards. So I was in Connolly Park. I was going to put the record straight. I was. And Bob, like, you won a championship with a crowd that hadn't won it in 47 years. And was it, would there not have been a temptation like to take it on then, and maybe the coaching?
No, I knew. I had even told them, which you should never do. I told them, this is it. Last year, I'm out here. You know yourself. I was obsessed with it. I was getting up. I was doing match analysis that time. In my scientific way of doing it was watching the tape 5 and 6 times, taking my stats from it and putting all the information up in the dressing room after. And I love watching the match the 7th time as much as watching it the first time. This is the same match, like, just total obsession. So I knew it was becoming unhealthy, that Jesus, like, that there was anyone I'd meet, I was trying to learn something. You know, you're a centre-back. Tell me, what's the important thing there about centre-back? You know, you were trying to look for information everywhere. And, geez, I'd say I was the biggest bore in Tralee, you know. So eventually I just said, no, it's enough now. I have to move to something else. And but just it was just lovely for me and for the club that to get that success. But I was going, had my mind made up that was it anyway, you know. So I was very happy to close that chapter. And
putting that much into club management, you can imagine then the county and trying to keep track of the whole county, like, tis a met. I often say that, like, Jesus, I did it for 9 years there. Tis an absolute. You'd want a patient family anyway, and you'd want handy enough all work to be doing outside of it anyway, because it is a full time job, to be honest. But of course, you didn't do the inter-county management. You just went straight to international football,
which is very hard to come back to inter-club or anything after international. I was lucky enough that Sean Boylan picked me there to I don't know what he picked me for, but he was part of his management team anyway. And then I was part of Anthony Tuchel's management team as well. There, so we had a few great trips to Australia at the end of my career. So it was a great finish, and absolutely, thoroughly enjoyed the experience and getting to know Sean Boylan, to be inside in the dressing room to see. I was wondering, what type of a fellow was he that had to meet fellas absolutely belubas, like going out in the field, and he coming across like with a saint. And I wanted to figure out how can you have that? Such a nice man coming across as a gorgeous man. The next thing, his team cut the head off you.
Yeah.
And do you know what? He is as gorgeous as you know. And when you see in the dressing room, tis just he has a beautiful way of talking and listening to players, and they just become empowered and just go and deliver. But it was great to see that, and to see a professional like Anthony Tuchel in operation, and to have Kieran McGeaney and Kevin O'Brien and Sean Oak, and you know all the extra friends you'd make in those. It's just great to have that and to be able to touch base with those lads now. And if you're feeling any way down, just to pick up the phone and give an old trip down memory lane, and sure you'll be hopping again.
Magic, yeah. I got with the hurling side of it, we play Scotland in Shinty there every second year. I got one trip to Inverness, like, I didn't get to Melbourne or Sydney or the Melbourne Cricket Ground, like, do you know what I mean? But Inverness was good crack too. It's where what you make it from, isn't it?
But sure, it isn't the location, it is who you're with, Anthony.
True. And if you, like, as I often say, even we'd be on about going on stags here and that, the boys say, we go to Galway, lads, or, you know, we go to Dublin, or we go, no, lads, I said, we'll get on the boat. And we're just like, I know we're only going to Kerry, and we can go around by the road now nearly as quick with the toll bridge, but there's just something about going on the boat.
Oh yeah,
off the board, and we were in another planet. In like, kind of like, even though we don't even go on Tralee, like, as you're looking. But I mean, I tell you a great one, and I'll let you go. I know you're probably due to go to the practice range and get ready for Monday shortly. But I remember one time myself and Eilish were up in a hotel in Dublin, and I went out to the car to get something, you know. Late on at night now, it was about 11 o'clock or whatever, and I was out to get something that we'd left in the car. And on my way back in, I'd just given up the Dublin managing job, I think. And on my way back in, who's coming out the door of the hotel in Castleknock? Only Sean Boylan, you know. And I would have known Sean a little bit through Father Harry, who used to be with me, Father Harry Bowen. They were great pals. And I arrived up to the room, and this is about 11. I arrived up to the room at about 1 o'clock in the morning. And like, I hadn't even a glass of wine now. And she says to me, Jesus Christ, you had to go back to the bar again. She says, I says, I've been sitting in the lobby with Sean Boylan. And that's the kind he is with me.
Yeah. Oh, he's engaging. Yeah.
Magic guy. Bummer. I didn't even get to go in depth with Mikko, and I didn't even get to talk about Gert Muller and all the goals you must have been scoring on the beach in Ballybunion when you were a young fella to get the nickname. Sorry,
Can't I go through it with you in the Eister when they open up again?
I'll tell you one thing. One of the things I'm looking forward to when this is over is going over to the Eister and me and you sitting down, and we'll bring Ogie. I often wonder how Ogie has been survived with you.
Yeah.
After Italy, I say, I'd be feeling shook in the mornings, you know. And for the first half an hour, you'd wake up, even though you're over now on the Venetian coastline, like nearly, you know. And you'd wake up the first half an hour and say, what did I come over here for? Like, and then you'd go down by the pool and you'd meet maybe Ogie and yourself and Stephen O'Brien. I'd say, "How are you, lads?" A quick dip in the pool and you're away again, like, you know. So, Bomber, the Oyster Bar is a date. You'll get me out in Ballybunion or Tralee for cheap, will you?
No bother.
I'll bring Ollie Baker or someone to match you for distance.
Oh, yeah. Ogie and myself will take you on.
Well, I'll take on Ogie and I'll let Baker and yourself bait away on the golf course and in the Oyster Bar. Will that be okay?
Fair enough. Look forward to it.
Thanks a million for your time, Bomber, this morning. And mind yourself, okay?
Cheers, Anthony. God bless.
Thanks again for joining us on the Irish Examiner Sports Podcast. And don't forget, you can read the full Irish Examiner and every supplement just as they are printed. Anytime, anywhere, on your phone, your PC, or your tablet, using our e-paper. Just visit irishexaminer.com/e-paper for all the details.